For our first lesson, God tells sinful Adam that he has lost the life of paradise and that his seed will bruise the serpent's head. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of the Lord. So for our next psalm, we'll be singing hymn number 282, "I Grant Thee Who My Sure Redeemer Art," hymn number 282.
Thank you. and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born with you will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, also has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Now we'll do sing number 301, Song of Mary.
The sixth lesson, Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all in the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll now sing hymn 317, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
Lesson number 7 comes from Luke 2, which is a familiar song for many of us. So we'd like to sing that and read that together as a congregation. Lesson 7 is "The Shepherds Go to the Manger," Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, the story of the shepherds. And let's all say together, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of God." And now we'll sing hymn number 321, "Infant Holy, Infant Lowly."
Sally Lloyd-Jones, in her book, The Jesus Story Bible, writes this in the introduction: "The Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story, the story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. At the center of the story, there is a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is no ordinary baby. This is the child upon whom everything would depend. And in him all things are held together. In him paradise is regained." This is what we are hearing in the story of the advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a day when we're constantly bombarded about the next epic thing or what worldly ruler is doing this or that, we are reminded by the scriptures and by our God that all does not depend on Washington, D.C., or Beijing, China, or upon London, England, or upon Moscow, Russia, or any other world power. All is focused and fixated upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken his seat at the right hand of God the Father, where he is ruling and reigning. What we need to do in this time and at all times as we take in what is pressed upon us all around us is to treasure and to reflect and to ponder, even as the shepherds and Mary did, as we see in Luke 2 this morning, to think upon what man most needs and what man cannot provide for himself, namely peace with God and life eternal. That was the message proclaimed to those shepherds so long ago in Luke chapter 2, and to Mary in Luke chapter 1, that this one born of Mary would be the Son of the Most High, the one who would rule over all things, the one of whom Micah prophesied he was of ancient times, from forever, come to that little town in Bethlehem. This could not possibly be understood by those in that day, but the eternal ramifications of the story resonate with us today as we see how Old Testament is revealed in New Testament proclamation, of how the angels proclaim the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. How stunned the shepherds must have been to have that angelic glory open before them there in the fields. How stunned they must have been to hear that message that was given. Perhaps pondering what they were going to do that night, what they were going to do that next day, and eternity opened before them. And the heavens declared the glory of God and his plan for the people, a universal message for every tongue, tribe, and nation, for every people group, all nationalities, a gospel that goes to the ends of the earth, good news for all people upon whom his favor rests. It may have seemed so strange to them to hear this message. They, shepherds, insignificant, those considered dirty and unclean, unworthy of witness in the public courts because considered untrustworthy, that they would receive the word. And yet God chooses the lowly to bring forth that mighty message. Those who have humbled themselves receive the message that they might go forth, recognizing that the power rests not with them, but in the word of God, which brings life. The shepherds heard the word and did what? They made haste to Bethlehem to find Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger, just as it had been told to them. People of God, as we ponder this story again in lessons and carols, we're reminded that all has been told and it has happened just as it has been said. And we have been told that he is going to come again, and it will happen just as it has been told to us. We marvel. We ought to marvel along with the shepherds, treasuring Christ, not treasuring government support checks, not treasuring power and influence, but rather treasuring the one who truly brings life. Mary had been visited by an angel as well. The angels came to the shepherds and spoke to them. And then when they went away, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing." When they had spoken, Mary heard their words and treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. What a message it was to receive that this child would be the one who was going to bring peace between God and man. You see, the action was not in Caesar Augustus's palace. It was not in Quirinius of Syria's palace or place. The true glory and splendor was with the one in the manger who would lay down his life only to take it up again, that he might offer life to those who see themselves dying in sin, in need of deliverance, and finding it in the one who has defeated death and sin and hell. How unwelcome that trip to Bethlehem must have been for Mary as she was ready to bear the child, to give birth. How unwelcome are many things in our lives that seem so hard, so heavy, so difficult, yet we're reminded to look to the one who has come, to bear all that hardship, to bear all of that hurt and pain and anguish, as we heard in the service this morning, that we might be freed from it, that we might be given the promise of life, the promise of eternity, free from pain and tears and sadness. The revelation, the reality that the child to be born would be the Son of the Most High, who would reign forever, coming at a time when there was not even a place for him to lay down. How she must have wondered at what the angels said. How we wonder when we see wise men sharing space with Santa. How we wonder when we see the manger set next to those places of consumption, declaring to us that Christmas is about getting rather than receiving, about looking for earthly things when the only hope that we have is found in heaven and is coming again to deliver us from all greed and covetousness, from all dissatisfaction, from all discontent, to give us life, the Lord Jesus Christ who comes. As the shepherd spoke, how could Mary have taken this all in, understanding these words? How is it possible that in this out-of-the-way place, God would bring to earth, would send to earth his salvation? Not in the halls of power, not in the places of influence, but accompanied by angelic proclamation, filled with the glories of heaven. Mary treasured these things and pondered them. And as Luke investigated them, he writes later that Mary was overwhelmed by this message, which seemed too magnificent to be communicated in words. And yet God condescends to us to speak to us through his inscripturated word, to speak to us of the living word, the one who spoke and things came into existence from out of nothing. So it is as God works in our hearts, calling forth life where there was only death. Our confidence then is not in our strength and ourselves. Our treasuring is not in what we have accomplished or what we bring to God, but rather what he has sent to us, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll hear about in a later lesson. Those walking in darkness, as we've already heard, upon them a light has dawned. Joy has come to earth. The eternal God has made his dwelling among us, has pointed out to us our greatest need, declared to us the perfect provision, and given to us a faith that connects us to the one who is ever living to intercede for us. What a message was declared that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God came, the angelic burst of light informed the shepherds of that event. And that same angelic message, that same divine message comes upon us today in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our hardships, declaring that there is light piercing the darkness, that there is life overcoming death, that the Lord Jesus Christ is one who has brought a kingdom and his rule shall never end. So as we think, as we treasure, as we ponder, as we meditate not upon the earthly places of power where so many place their hope today, but we focus upon that manger in Bethlehem to remember his first coming, which directs us then to the skies as the angels declared to the disciples so long ago, "Why are you standing here looking into heaven? As you have seen him go, so shall he come in glory with power to declare to us that all is paid for. It is finished, paid in full. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, that we might live now in this moment with joy and peace and offer it to the world, giving it in the way that we hold on to nothing tightly here, which can be lost. Indeed, we give the message freely. We give ourselves freely, for we have received so richly. As we reflect upon this message, as we think upon what God has given, may it lead us to have generous hearts. May it lead us to realize that we have died to the old way of thinking, of possessing things and possessing stuff, but rather of treasuring the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, eternity's light breaking into the world, treasuring the truth, sharing that truth, living in the light of it, that heaven and heaven's life might shine forth from us. Let's ask for God to give us that light, to help us treasure the message of this gospel each day. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we can sing, for we have a wonderful message to proclaim. How wonderful that it is put to music. How wonderful that as it is proclaimed, you protect it. Your word is established. It shall not be moved. And as it speaks, as you speak, we receive because of that gift of your Spirit who has connected us to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. May he be our joy. May his name be on our lips in song and in speech in these days, and for as many days as you have given to us, that we might point all to the place where provision has been given, a perfect provision to bring what our hearts ache for, and that is peace. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
With him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. The ninth lesson, John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation. John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen this glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God. We will sing, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence," number 319. 292. Correction.